Blog Talk Radio. Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
With Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for Dr. Debbie Green, who again was called in for an emergency. There are many mental illness issues that are happening around the world, and it is a crisis when people don't know how to cope, and sometimes their coping mechanism is hurtful to others. Well, today we want to talk about a situation that hasn't been clinically declared a mental illness, and yet it does leave one in a state of mental illness. We're talking about a broken heart. What does it feel like when you are hurting after a relationship ends, whether it's a divorce or the ending of a long-term intimate relationship? There is physical pain. It feels like your heart is broken. There are actually some biological things happening in your body when you are going through this state of depression. There are biochemical changes that happen. But there are also some emotional changes that are combined with those biological changes that can sometimes make your response deadly to yourself and others if you're not recognizing what's happening and managing your emotions. We're not taught how to do that, and so we tend to do it badly. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about, well, that's not what we're talking about, either wrong, sorry. we were talking about depression after relationship ends, how to overcome a broken heart. See, this is what happens when you try to work without your glasses. Pardon me. Yes, depression after relationship ends. How to overcome a broken heart. We've all had one if we've been around long enough to be in a relationship. And there are things we should do, and there are things we shouldn't do. And there are things we must do. So we'll be back after this quick break. And we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. And, of course, we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to share your thoughts as we talk about depression after a relationship ends, how to overcome a broken heart. Here on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And if you want to join us visually on Facebook, you can go to The Female Solution or on Facebook or YouTube and write in your comments or call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak. That raises your hand on our switchboard and we'll come right to you and open your mic and get your words of wisdom. We'll be right back after this break, so stay with us.
Cheryl. And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for Dr. Debbie Green, who was called away on an emergency. And there are so many people who struggle with emotional distress to the point where it does become a mental illness. Well, today we're talking about a very common mental illness, which we first feel in the heart, commonly called a broken heart. There's a state of depression. There's sadness. There is physical pain. And sometimes there's distress that can cause us to harm ourselves, and sometimes it causes us to harm others. We have a need to connect with each other on an intimate level. And sometimes when that need becomes imbalanced, what we think is love becomes a possessive kind of attachment that is unhealthy. And it's not to say that hurting after relationship ends means that you're not emotionally stable. But there are cases where people's attachment goes over the edge. We're all aware of those who become stalkers and even killers of those whom they say they love when the one that they love leaves them or threatens to leave them. And they become violent when someone says they want to end a relationship. And they may even get violent with someone who is involved with someone that they love and feel like they have the right to hurt them. You know, It hasn't been that long ago that courts stopped using the temporary insane excuse when a man killed another man because that man was involved with his wife. Courts used to be very imbalanced when it came to holding people responsible for irrational jealousy and possessiveness. There was a time when that was excused as justifiable homicide because men could identify with other men who felt betrayed and brokenhearted. And then, of course, we had cases where women became vengeful and violent and might even inflict physical harm on a man when she felt that he betrayed her trust. I don't want to mention Elena Bobbitt, but her very violent act of vengeance toward her husband became, unfortunately, an international joke, even though it was a cruel very violent display of her anger. And then women making jokes about that, I think, sensitized men to the realization that it isn't a small thing when someone does physical harm to someone in anger, jealousy, and desires for vengeance if they feel someone has broken their heart. You don't have a right to harm someone if they choose to end an intimate relationship. You don't have the right to harm someone with whom they have established a new intimate relationship. Whether you are married or not, you don't have the right to inflict harm on someone because you're feeling a state of loss. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. You don't have the right to harm someone else. A healthy relationship is based on free will. The right to remain together if you both mutually choose, and the right of either of you to step away if you feel this relationship is no longer suiting your needs. Marriage is a lifelong pledge, but often people realize they can no longer live up to that pledge. Either emotions have changed, their path in life has changed, and they make a choice to either stay in a relationship that they don't want to be in and make the other person unhappy because they're not happy, or they choose to leave. And this often creates anger and hurt. We, as individuals and as the collective body, have to grow in our maturity in understanding what love truly is and what it isn't. What it isn't is the right to possess someone, even if you're married. Everyone is only owned by themselves and no one else. A relationship is based on free will, and you don't have the right to harm someone if they choose to end an intimate relationship. Whether you're married or not, you don't own anybody. You cannot own a soul. But we do become attached. And there are a attachments that can be very emotionally unhealthy. And when an attachment is unhealthy, then a response to the ending of a relationship is unhealthy, imbalanced, harmful to yourself and others. So we're going to take a look at a and listen to a few presentations when it comes to addressing what is a broken heart. What does it feel like? And how do you heal from a broken heart? And if you've ever had the experience, then you know that you literally feel pain in your heart. So there is something called broken heart syndrome. Broken heart syndrome is a heart condition that's often brought on by stressful situations and extreme emotions. The condition also can be triggered by a serious physical illness or surgery. But broken heart syndrome is often a temporary condition, but some people may continue to feel unwell after the heart itself is healed. Now, symptoms of broken heart syndrome can mimic a heart attack. Symptoms may include chest pain, shortness of breath. And these symptoms can be triggered by emotions. People with broken heart syndrome may have sudden chest pains or think they're having a heart attack. Broken heart syndrome affects part of the heart, and it briefly interrupts the way the heart pumps blood. Now, it affects that particular part that pumps the blood, but the rest of the heart continues to work as usual. And sometimes the heart contracts more forcefully. Broken heart syndrome also may be called stress cardiomyopathy or recurrent Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. And it is something brought about by stressful conditions and intense emotions. So it's a physical reality. You can suffer a literal broken heart, a heart that malfunctions as a result of your extreme sadness and a breakup. So it is important to understand that our bodies respond to our emotions, and our bodies will malfunction when our emotions are intense and negative over a long period of time. You know, you see somebody, maybe, and we've all done this or seen it done, maybe some young guy, maybe he's attractive and cute, and he's just a little boy, and somebody said, oh, he's just going to be a heartbreaker. So the idea, of course, is this is somebody who's going to have many women who they discard and hurt, and we laugh about it, but we really should not. Because you can die from a broken heart. Literally, when your heart malfunctions, it can kill you. So that's not something that we want to make light of, breaking someone's heart. Relationships are very intense because they do involve the heart in a real sense. And there are physiological things happening that affect the entire body because the heart pumps blood throughout the entire body. And when you are emotionally distressed, then you are, in fact, experiencing sensations of pain in the heart. So, understanding that what you're feeling is not your imagination, it is a manifestation of the physical result of prolonged emotional distress. So, how do we address this feeling? Well, one of the things that we observe in relationships is the attachment. And what causes people to become extremely attached to someone in a way that is unhealthy. There is a difference between being a loving partner and being possessive. Possessiveness comes from fear of abandonment. And as we know, so much of the foundation of who we become in life is set in our early childhood, the experiences that we have that teach us whether or not we have the capacity to trust. Our early experiences teach us whether or not the people who we are trusting to take care of us will in fact do that, or if we have been abandoned or experience the feeling of abandonment, that becomes the foundation for our relationships later in life. Fear of abandonment and therefore the attachment, the possessiveness, the fear that someone that we love and depend on for love is going to leave us. And therefore the panic when a relationship ends. The fear leads to a reaction, and the reaction of anger is really an expression of the fear that one is going to experience pain. And the anger that is an expression of the fear can sometimes turn to violence. And this is what we see in cases of domestic violence when someone tries to leave a relationship. It's the fear of pain. Getting to the root of what is inside of us can help us to manage our emotions in a healthier manner. And sometimes the way we manage our emotions is based on patterns that we've seen in our surroundings. Often what we've grown up with in our homes is unhealthy expressions. So we don't know. We don't know how to discuss differences. We don't know how to discuss ending a relationship. And if we've grown up in a home in which a divorce happened, a separation happened, then we have that foundation of fear. We become more susceptible to a broken heart when at the foundation of our formation, of our very personality, is the insecurity, the fear of abandonment, and perhaps a broken heart. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about healthy forming relationships and how to address our sense of unworthiness, the fear that we're unworthy of love, which produces the emotions of distress that manifest in a malfunctioning heart. We'll be back after this break, and if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. You're listening to and watching The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naeem Latif, sitting in for Dr. Debbie Green, who was called away on an emergency, and her emergencies always involve helping someone manage a mental health episode. She is a therapist at a hospital, and she addresses many critical issues that affect people's lives. And today we're talking about depression after a relationship ends. How to overcome a broken heart. We've all had one. Some of us may be living with one right now. There are physiological symptoms and signs. And sometimes our emotional response is harmful to ourselves and others. So we want to learn how to overcome patterns of behavior that are based on negative thinking about ourselves, often set in motion in childhood. Call in, comment, 515-605-9325 and press 1. And if you're on our switchboard now, feel free to share your relationship experiences in which you've had to perhaps overcome a disappointment? Or have you had someone in your life that was overly attached and threatened you if you were to leave? Perhaps you actually had to get protection. Maybe someone was so emotionally imbalanced that they threatened to take their own lives. How do you handle that when someone uses the threat of suicide as a means of manipulation to make you stay in a relationship that is over? Let's talk about that when we come back. And if you're listening online, again, join this conversation. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And you can join us live on Facebook or YouTube. Go to The Female Solution. We'll be right back after this break, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
This is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for our host, Dr. Debbie Green, as she was called away on a mental health emergency. Well, today we want to take a look at a common stage of mental health, what happens after the ending of a relationship, and physiologically how it affects you, and how you may overcome the effects, and how to recognize when perhaps someone else's response is imbalanced to the point of being dangerous. And if you have had this experience, then you may want to consider how to address the conflict with a former loved one, if their response to a breakup is possibly making you feel unsafe. We'll talk about stalking and even what should be done if you are staying in a relationship out of fear that someone will harm you if you leave. A broken heart the feeling of sadness when a relationship ends is a common situation. This is some of the, these are some of the symptoms. If you've had a long-term, personal, intimate relationship, whether a marriage or simply a long-term relationship in which there was, of course, attachment, emotional attachment, maybe plans for a future, and it didn't manifest for whatever reasons. This can be a very difficult attack on your self-esteem. But these are some of the symptoms if you are going through what's known as a broken heart. If your heart is broken, you might feel symptoms common to depression, fatigue, tired all the time, don't have energy, right? Reduced or increased appetite. You might, depending on how you respond when you're depressed, some people can't eat when they're depressed. Some people use food as a comfort and they're constantly eating. So if you find yourself constantly snacking, maybe eating that comfort food, cake, ice cream, and it's very common for people either to lose a lot of weight when they're going through the depression, the end of a breakup. It's very common for them to either suddenly lose a lot of weight because they haven't been able to eat because of the inner depression and stress, or to gain a lot of weight because they're using food as comfort. And if you have been in a state of depression over a long period of time, then whatever physical manifestation is happening, it's going to happen over that long period of time. So if after a year you're still in emotional pain and you have not been able to eat regularly and you've lost a lot of weight, you've also lost a lot of nutrition, a lot of nutrients, and you could cause other malfunctions in the body. Or if you've gained a lot of weight because you've been eating and using food as comfort, maybe sugary snacks, cakes, candy, something to comfort you, get that sugar rush, well, you could be headed toward diabetes. So either extreme creates further physical problems. The next sign, sleeping too little or too much. Well, if you're not getting sleep, then what happens during sleep is the body repairs itself. The body heals itself. And often when we have things such as colds and other infections that invade the body, it's because we're not getting enough sleep to give the body a chance to do what it does during our sleep, which is repair damaged tissue, repair infections. That's what the body does during the sleep phase. If we're getting too little sleep, then we might find ourselves not able to get rid of colds, not able to get rid of illnesses that pop up, infections that pop up. They just don't go away because we're not resting. So when we're not getting enough sleep, because we're distressed, because of the relationship that ended, then we'll see other malfunctions in our bodies. So sleeping too little will add to other physical ailments. Now, sleeping too much. What happens when you just can't get yourself out of the bed? You're so fatigued. The feeling of fatigue, the feeling of low energy, depression is just that. It depresses the body, slows it down. And when you are feeling tired, you can't seem to get up enough energy to get out of the bed, you're sleeping excessively. Well, what are some of the things that you do when you're awake? House cleaning, bathing. You might find that your hygiene suffers if you spend too many days without being able to even get up and shower or brush your teeth or change your clothes or comb your hair or wash the dishes. They pile up in the sink. You don't have the energy to get up and wash them. You don't have the energy to get up and sweep the floor. You don't have the energy to do basic maintenance of your surroundings. So what happens? These things don't get done. Your surroundings start to reflect your fatigue, your lack of energy on taking care of yourself and your surroundings. Your house becomes disheveled. You become disheveled. Little things like missing important appointments, you become unreliable because you're tired, because the fatigue of the depression is affecting you physically and taking away your energy. Another symptom is a lack of interest in your usual activities. Maybe you used to hang out with your friends. Maybe you used to enjoy going roller skating or bicycling, or maybe you used to enjoy going to your organization meetings. Maybe you used to enjoy going to movies. Maybe you used to like going to events, concerts. Maybe you used to go to your worship services and you don't have interest in that anymore. Lack of interest in your usual activities. And of course, if you could get to your usual activities, you'd get stimulation, which would give you the energy that you're lacking in your depression. But because you don't get involved in your usual activities, then you create that cycle of staying in the depression. You don't see people. Seeing people would expose you to other people's energy that could lift you up, but because you lose interest because of your depression, you can't change the low energy that your depression is creating. So you stay in that cycle of depression. And, of course, this last symptom, anxiety. You're feeling anxious. Well, of course you're feeling anxious because you know that you're not getting things done because you're tired, because you're either overeating or undereating. So you're either getting too skinny or too overweight, unhealthy either way. If you're not getting sleep, then you're wired up, your body's not resting, your mind's not resting, that'll cause anxiety. If you're sleeping too much, then you know you're missing things, you're not getting things done, that'll cause you anxiety. Not having the calming effect of your usual activities that you enjoy, well, that will cause you anxiety. So then anxiety becomes a part of the experience of a broken heart. And these signs will be seen by others who are close to you. They'll know that you're not yourself. Just like you can tell when someone's in love. And when someone's in love, it's almost the opposite of all of these things. When you're in the midst of an enjoyable relationship, you've got energy. You've got a healthy appetite. You're more balanced because a lot of times you're going out and you're enjoying meals together with the person you love. And you feel rejuvenated after your sleep. You're excited about life. So your body has a balance. It's biochemically balanced. Even the adrenaline, it's giving you that rush, but it's a healthy rush. And the laughter, it's helping boost your immune system so you're not prone to illnesses and infections. Joy improves your immune system. And you're at peace because you're experiencing love. So being in love gives you just the opposite of these physical effects. And you look vibrant when you're in love. So when that love ends, you experience just the opposite in mood and how it expresses itself in your physical body. So a love relationship has physical effects. And when it ends, it can have very unpleasant physical effects because your emotions are affecting your body. So there are stages of grief after a breakup, just as if someone had died. We know that there are stages of grief after a loss when someone has passed away. When a relationship has died, you also grieve. And these stages affect you emotionally. There are five stages of a broken heart. They are denial. No, this isn't happening. No, this can't be over. No. You're not leaving me. I refuse to let you go. No. So denial, first one. Second one, anger. How dare you leave me? How dare you end this relationship? How dare you walk away? I'll kill you if you leave. Anger. Third stage, bargaining. Well, what can't we work this out? Well, I'll change. I'll do better. I'll be a better person. I'll do whatever it is you say I didn't do. We can make it happen. We can make it work. Bargaining. Fourth stage of a broken heart. Depression. Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm just crying all the time. Like, oh, they left me. Sitting around sad. Depression. That's the fourth stage. And the fifth stage of a broken heart. Acceptance. They're gone. It's over. We're done. The divorce is final. We're not getting back together. That's the final stage of my life that's not going to ever exist again. So those are the five stages of a broken heart according to Mental Health Matters. And these are natural stages that you go through. So the stages of a broken heart are the same as the stages of grief after a death, the same, because you're experiencing the death of a relationship, the death of an era in your life. And sometimes you feel like it's the death of your joy, but it isn't. The joy does return. The problem comes when you get stuck in one of those five stages. And you can't progress. If you get stuck in the denial stage, no, I'm not letting you go. No, you can't end this marriage. No, you can't end this relationship. There are times when people get to the point of denial where they will continue to, they will pretend to still be with that person even when that person has said, no, we are not together anymore. Denial. And that's a very unhealthy stage to get stuck in. The next stage, anger. And many people get stuck at the anger stage where they want to get violent because they're upset that this person is going to, or they feel this person's leaving is going to cause them so much pain, and they're angry at the person for the sensation of pain they're anticipating they're going to feel as a result of the ending of the relationship. And so anger is what can lead to violence after a breakup. Getting stuck at this stage is what happens in a lot of domestic violence cases, a lot of stalker cases, a lot of murder cases. When people are stuck at this stage of grief after a relationship ends. And then people can get stuck at the bargaining stage, where you can easily find yourself being abused or taken advantage of if you get stuck at this stage. Oh, I'll pay you money. I'll do whatever you want. I'll buy you a car. I'll take all the money out of my bank account and give it to you. I'll accept you're not coming home sometimes and just not calling and you know, just I'll just be quiet about it. I'm not going to say anything, or I'll get plastic surgery to look better. I mean, whatever, you start bargaining. You're trying to make them stay. You're trying to hold on even though they have gone, or emotionally they have ended it, and you're bargaining. Getting stuck at that stage can be very, self-depreciating kind of stage, and it's unhealthy. And many people are stuck at the depression stage. And we've talked about the signs of depression, where you are simply sad all the time, tired, not eating or overeating, can't sleep, with anxiety, not interested in your old friends or things you used to do, just withering away. Many people get stuck at that depression stage, and that becomes a way of life. And as a result, they don't ever change their condition, which could, in fact, attract a different experience. They get stuck at the depression stage. And it can easily be who they become. They're altered. Their personality is altered by the ending of a relationship. So this next stage is the healthy ending of that cycle of grief after a relationship ends, and that is acceptance. And when you get to the stage of acceptance, that means you're ready to move on with your life. If a person is emotionally unhealthy, then they can get stuck at any one of these other stages of grieving over the ending of a relationship. But if they are able to get to the point of emotional health, and sometimes you need counseling. This is just like grief counseling. Sometimes you need help getting through these five stages of grief over the ending of a relationship: denial, anger, bargaining, depression. So you can get to acceptance, because acceptance is when you are restored to emotional wholeness and you are able to anticipate a new relationship without holding on to the sadness and regret of the old relationship. And if you find yourself stuck in any of these stages for any length of time, that's a sign you need help. And that's what counselors are for. That's what therapists are for, to help your heart heal. A broken heart is real. It is a physical manifestation of your emotional distress after the ending of a relationship. So these are things that, if we have experienced them, and if we are in any stage for any prolonged period of time, we need to seek help and not feel ashamed or embarrassed or that we failed or that we're defective. If we need help getting out of a stage of this grieving process when a relationship ends. And our dear sister Riata has said, Grand Rising from Costa Rica. The word love is so misunderstood and overused that we should always clarify, redefine, and put it in its divine perspective based on circumstances. Yes, love is often misdefined and expressed as extreme attachment. Attachment that can cause a person to misbehave. So we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about that very unfortunately common form of misbehavior after a relationship ends. Stalking. When someone is stuck in one of those stages of grief, perhaps denial, anger, even bargaining, even depression. But they're stuck, and they will not let it end, and they take to stalking you. We're going to talk about stalking. And what is needed to do, what you need to do if you're in a situation where someone is stalking you or you feel that they may stalk you or have been stalking you. And if you've been a stalker, we want you to recognize that as well and realize it's because you're stuck in one of those stages of grief. We'll be right back after this quick break. And if you are listening online, we invite you to join this conversation. And if you're on our switchboard now, we invite you to share your thoughts as we assist. We've got a caller on the line. We'll take your call after the break and take a look at stalking behavior. And then we're going to share with you information about what healthy love looks like so that if it ends, it does not cause your heart to break. We'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com. And I'm Viato.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for Dr. Debbie Green. This is Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And good morning to Delamay Smith. Tell me if I'm mispronouncing your name. Thank you so much. Longtime viewer, and we appreciate you for tuning in. As we take a look at depression after a relationship ends, how to overcome a broken heart. And before we get into talking, let's go to our phone lines. Again, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. 312-768 Grand Rising. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments about overcoming a broken heart.
Grand Rising, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, well, wonderful, wonderful. Mama Joy from Chicago.
Hey,
yeah,
Mama
South
Joy,
side,
how are you?
South side in the house.
South side.
Yeah, I've been listening to the conversation, and I thought to myself, you know, since I'm a seasoned lover.
Seasoned, I like that.
But seasoned, but still loving. And I think one of the things, I've had so many experiences with the heartbreak and going into depression, going through abuse and not really understanding why things happen. And I look around and now, Naima, I see so many articles on how to keep your man and how what you have to do to pin him down and make him desire you. And I think that so often women, I guess men too to some degree, work more on methods of how to keep a man and not work on themselves as being authentic and loving themselves. As long as you're moving out to make someone else happy, to make someone else feel whole, then you're not operating in the trueness of who you are. And depression, yeah, I've been through that. But I think when you get into that, you to find some value, true value in loving yourself, because you're not operating from your heart. You know, you're operating from emotions. You're operating from an artificial place. So I just think it takes some time and understand your own values and go out, pamper yourself like I'm going to do today.
Great.
Get my nails.
Self-love, yep. Yes.
Meditation, meditation. Looking, practice some self-love, speaking life, speaking love to yourself, you know. Look at mirror exercises. You know, sometimes you get around friends and they don't feed you. They feed the flame of your pain. And
yes.
You don't need that either.
You don't need that. You don't need that.
Yeah, feeding the pain like, well, you know, men do those kind of things, you know, and putting them down. But regardless of whatever, we should be able to take responsibility of the relationship that we engage in and even see some of the good things that were there. Did we grow in the relationship? What did you get out of the relationship? What was the lesson? You know, what did you get out of it? Was it always bad times or whatever? Or were you always looking for ways to keep them and struggling? I declare, if you have a broken heart, look at the journey. What did you have to do to make him feel the way you wanted him to feel about you? And the question yourself is, have you had those feelings about yourself? What have you done to nurture those true feelings for yourself? Sometimes, Naima, we give more to others than we're willing to give to ourselves. Like someone was saying to me, saying, you know, it's easier to deal with outside arrangements rather than work on the inside, do the internal work that we should do on ourselves. So I wish that in some way, if we're depressed and angry, that you ask yourself, you know, is this a feeling that I really want to continue with? And if there's no benefit in it, learn, find a way to let it go. Because if they're not there and you've done all you can do, let them go. Let them go.
That's right. Let them go. Any good relationship advisor will tell you if someone wants to leave, let them go. Because when you're holding on to someone, that does so much to destroy your own sense of self-esteem. And as you mentioned, when you're trying to alter yourself so that someone will accept you, then you're constantly telling yourself, I am unacceptable as I am. So that's really a very unloving way to be toward yourself, to say that I am unacceptable as I am, therefore I have to fix myself in order to be acceptable to this person. Instead of
exactly.
saying, well, you're no longer a match, so let me be who I am, and then I'll attract to me someone who is attracted to me as I am. That's a healthy relationship. Anytime you have to change some major thing about yourself in order to fit somebody else, it's never going to work because, like you said, you're not being your authentic self. That's different if you're maybe fixing something you know is a fault. Like, you know, maybe you tend to say little mean things. Well, you know, that's a hurtful thing, and you don't want to, well, I'll just find somebody who can just take it. Well, no, that's a personality trait you really don't want to have if it's hurtful. But if it's something, you know, okay, well, you know, I like to go roller skating on Saturday. Well, he doesn't like skating, so I guess I'll give that up because he'd rather sit at home, so I'll just do that. Okay, well, then you've compromised something that you like. But maybe you feel better if you found somebody who liked roller skating, you know, and then you could enjoy what you enjoy instead of sitting at home and, you know, you kind of miss skating, but okay, well, he doesn't like that and he doesn't like me to go with my friends, so I just won't. You know, you can do so much of that, so much of the compromising of what you are and what you enjoy until you start to feel resentment, and that's not a good relationship.
No. When you start having to give up your joy, when you have to give up your joy for someone else to have their joy.
Yes, and if somebody doesn't like you as you are, if they met you and you're a certain weight, that's who you are, that's your body, and they're constantly saying, "Well, you need, you're too big. You need to lose some weight." Well, you know what? This is who I am. Now, if I choose to make some body changes, that's my choice. But if I'm starving myself, oh, I'm gonna lose my man if he says I'm too big. Well, maybe you should find somebody who enjoys, you know, full-figured women. You know, until you get ready to change. If this is how you are, this is your natural body weight or whatever it is, enjoy being who you are and not having somebody, you know, look at you cross-eyed every time you order a piece of cake where you can't even enjoy your meals because they're talking about your weight. You know, you don't want that. That's not a healthy relationship.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Mm-mm. No. No, in fact, with reminds me of a situation that I had gotten deeply involved in, and it was always an issue with the weight, and the sister always had the perfect body, and he was always admiring other people, you know, with their perfect bodies, and so I realized that with that and not wanting to make a commitment that this was not going to work. And sometimes I think that if one is honest with themselves, they can see when it's not working. And they
right.
can see that the compromise that they're making is moving them further away from embracing their own values. And
yes.
I told the guy, I said, well, you know what? I really do care, but I want you to know at this moment, since I'm not begging anymore, not jumping over hoops anymore, but we'll be together. And it's and when, but I, as of this point, I'm moving out. I'm moving out of this relationship. Sometimes you have to
yeah.
make a decision and be honest with yourself when you're deeply into it, and you really know that this is something that cannot work, but you've invested a lot, and it will pull. If you're pulling away. Because as a young woman, I used to say, well, honey, child, you ain't it, and I hit the road, Jack, you know. But then I go through a lot of other changes, and I didn't want that. So I let it be known that I'm not happy with it. And I gradually nurtured myself, Naima, to the point that I, with spiritual help, to be able to let them go and not be hurt in the process.
Yes.
I think
and
learning to, when realizing, and I guess young people can learn to be able to know when enough is enough and to find the help that you need to move out of it. And if it's not a violent relationship, then that's the goal, that's the golden. But if it's an abusive relationship, then you take another course. But certainly... when you've invested a lot in a person, be it male or female, and you know that pulling away, that it will be a broken heart. I like to just lay in there and work with it and ease on out so that when I do say bye-bye, it's done.
You know,
it's
the thing
done.
Is, Mama Joy, there are no victims in any situation.
That's right.
We have to take responsibility for what we attract to us, as you just said, based on how you feel about yourself. If you're beating yourself down internally, you're going to attract someone who beats you down. If you're telling yourself there's something wrong with me as I am, then you're going to attract somebody who verifies that feeling about yourself. And that's why you stay in a relationship that's hurtful, because you first were hurting yourself. People
there
who,
you go. Mm-hmm.
People
right.
who feel good about themselves, they don't stay around people who do little mean things, like, you know, you go out with somebody and then they're talking about how beautifully shaped somebody else is, and, oh, well, you don't need to have that extra dessert. You got a little bit too much behind. Now, I like somebody like this one. Always all in your face. Somebody who feels good about themselves, they would get up and leave and say, fine, you have dinner with her then. You know, but if you're sitting there feeling, oh, I need to fix this, I need to fix myself, you'll take that kind of emotional abuse because you first were abusing yourself in your own mind. That's why you attracted that. And we have to take responsibility for attracting to us the reflection of what's already inside of us.
Yes.
Or, oh, they did me wrong. No, first you did yourself wrong. First you.
Thank you.
You the wrong thought that there was something wrong with you. You are perfect just as you are. We are expressions of God's creation. So we are exactly as we're supposed to be. And there's nothing wrong with us. However you look, that's the way you're supposed to look.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look, you'll attract somebody else who likes the way you look. But if you feel like, oh, well, my skin is the wrong color, I got to fix that. Oh, my hair's not the right length, well, I got to fix that. Oh, well, you know, my behind is the wrong shape, I got to, you know, squeeze in some
fix
repression.
That. Yeah, you got to be fixing yourself up all the time. What is the quality of the love? What is the quality of the love at that point? You know, and you're right, taking responsibility, knowing that the law of attraction is real. And, you know, and the example you gave when you're saying, oh, I'm going to buy him a car, I'm going to buy him, you know, suits, and you're buying all these things. And it could work for the woman, too. If and yeah, that's what, right, because there's certain principles that work for, that regardless if you're male or female, it heals you the same. If you've got to just always buy and do things for a person, That's not love. It's not love.
You know, when you've spent, and men, come on, chime in, because you know you've done this. You feel like when you spent so much money on someone, they owe you their love. They owe you their loyalty. And when you know this, perhaps this person is not really respecting you for who you are or not really attracted to you for who you are, but you keep spending more and more money on them, and then you get angry when you find out maybe they went out with someone else, and then you want to get violent. But I bought her a car. She drive around with some other so-and-so. But you bought her a car, and you knew in your heart that she did not return
your affection
to that same degree. Then you want to say, she used me. No, you allowed yourself to be used because you did not feel sufficient in yourself. You felt like you had to buy her, and she let you do that because she let you do that.
And then the question comes with that, Naima, are you heartbroken because of them, or are you heartbroken because of you? And because you were broken. Were you broken when you got into that relationship? And what was your need? What was your need? Was your need love?
Yes.
Then if you needed love so much until you had to seek outside of yourself to be whole and complete, that's the wrong place. Love is found not in the external, but going in and doing the work. And one of the things I find that in life, so many of us are suffering with the broken child within us. We didn't fix that little girl. We didn't fix that little boy when we were hurt. And just like the anger, if you don't acknowledge that, that will enter into the relationship in pain and hurt. It's amazing that once you are hurt that deeply, you'll find that you have to go into some process or work, or like Dr. Green has, to find out that you have to go in and find where did all of this begin. And this heartbreak did not happen at this relationship. And if you have enough courage and be able to go to therapy, a counselor, or either a good friend, and do some kind of auditing, where you find out that whatever it is you're experiencing with that relationship is an alignment with something that has happened to you earlier in your life that you did not own up to and didn't fix it.
That's exactly it, because most things that we experience in life later come as a result of that early childhood experience and the brokenness that may have developed as a result of parents that separated, maybe that father that never came back, maybe that mother that was gone. So you felt abandonment, and you developed an abandonment fear then, and so you came into a relationship already broken, already afraid that someone was going to leave you and take away the love and make you feel rejected. So you're trying to hold on to somebody who really is not giving you the sign that they really value you and care for you. And they're giving you all the signs that they're not the one because they're not really appreciating you for you. So you're overcompensating because you came into the relationship broken, already fearful that someone was going to leave you because maybe you're still carrying that pain of that parent that left you and you don't know why. And as a child, we always feel like it's something defective about me, the reason why my parents didn't love me enough to stay. So that's what we bring into a relationship. And then if you're that person that, oh, but I bought her everything, I bought him everything, and they left me. How could they have done this to me? Well, you did that to yourself first. First, you felt
to yourself,
that.
Right.
When you entered the relationship, that's
right.
Why you attracted someone who would allow you to basically give them what they needed, even though they were not giving you what you needed because they really were not sincere in their desire to be with you. But they'll let you provide for them. And I've seen so many times people will unconsciously go after somebody who's needy, feeling like, well, I can make them stay with me because they need stuff, and as long as I give them stuff, then they'll stay. I can make them stay. That's how they end up in those kind of relationships. And if you've been in a pattern where you are constantly being used, look at yourself. Why are you attracting people that need things that you can provide? And why are you providing it as a means of controlling them and trying to make them stay with you? A relationship has to be healthy and balanced and based on free will, not desperation or need. People choose to be together. But if you, like you say, if is broken when they come into a relationship because they're afraid of
being offended.
There you
go. And they're not even aware that they're broken. They are not even aware of the brokenness. You know, you're making a good point. My first marriage, I can remember my first marriage. And this conversation is reminding me of it. And it was sweet for a while. Not that long, really. And there was an argument that we got into. And he said to me, "I'm not your daddy." I said, "Well, heck yeah, I know you're not my daddy." He said, "Yeah, but," he said, "but," he says, you talk about your mom. You want to do this for your mom and everything." He says, "I'm not your daddy." You know, your daddy died, so you didn't have a daddy. So I can't be your daddy, and I'm not going to be taking care of you and your mama and all that. I never was saying that, but some way or another, he was picking up on it. And years later, of course, that marriage went to pops. And I stayed angry for a long time. And also sick, too. You know, anger, when you get angry, you can get angry enough with a person until you will get sick. And I remember I was going to therapy, and over a course of time, of a few months, my therapist called my attention to it. She said, "You know what? You notice whenever your husband comes around, you get sick?" And
wow.
I said, no. So she went to her records and she said, "Look, he came to you on this date, and then 4 days later, you got sick." And see, that had been happening. And because I wasn't getting sick on that day, but within about 5 or 6 days after we had this huge argument, and he would flare up because we were going through a divorce, I would get sick. But I never associated the sickness, the illness, with the argument. And I think that's something for people to understand. Take responsibility that when you have an altercation or a situation comes that's really... it flares up and really sickens you or hurts you really deeply, look carefully and see if in some time after that you don't have something happens to you physically, and so that you will know that this is something important for you to be aware of, because when you have that kind of anger, you attack yourself.
Yes.
You attack it yourself. So if there's anything that you involve in a relationship and you find yourself getting sick of the stomach or vomiting or having colds, like I used to get violent colds and sinuses, check and see if you fell into a situation or involved in a situation that you became very angry. And that's in any relationship. Because some of us just say, hey, that's just the way they make me do it. Well, I just go there with them. You know, go in there with them on something that you disagree and you're going all the way. Don't take me over the edge. Find out after you go over that edge, how do you feel a few days later?
Yes. And if there's a pattern where you say somebody, they came sick, that's a real thing. Somebody, you actually, when you're always getting sick around someone and you trace the pattern of, you know, we get into an argument, you know, I get upset, 2 days later I'm sick, you know, and you start looking at the pattern, you realize this is affecting you biologically, because internally, when you're angry and upset, you're setting in motion a whole biochemical response in your body, and it does manifest as illness. So your body, this is a great communication device. It's always telling us about our emotions. That's what these illnesses are. They're telling us where in our lives we need to come back to balance emotionally. And when you have a relationship that's making you sick, your body's trying to tell you, let them go. Let them go.
We're not supposed to. And keep this in mind, that the cells in your body that's being affected, they do remember.
Yes.
The cells in your body remember.
They remember, yes. Well, Mama Joy, we got to take one last break, but hold on. We're going to come back and talk some more about this. And, you know, and I'll get your remarks again after I go over this point on stalking, because sometimes a person won't let you go. And what do? When they will not accept that it's over, and you actually begin to fear for your life, how do you handle that? We'll talk about that and the emotions involved when we come back, so stay with us.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
To Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for Dr. Debbie Green, who was called in on another emergency. And, of course, she does deal with some very intense cases at the hospital where she is a therapist. Sometimes relationships get deadly when people don't know how to let go. And in some cases, someone resorts to stalking. Well, I'm going to read this short passage on stalking, and we'll talk further about this. If you've had this experience, either being the stalkee or the stalker, either way, it's a very unhealthy state to be in after a relationship has ended. And this is from the site published by NOLO, DivorceNet. Most stalking cases involve a previous relationship between the stalker and the victim. In fact, divorced or separated spouses are more likely than others to be stalked by their former partners. If your ex is stalking you, get the police and courts involved as soon as you begin to feel concerned. Stalking is a serious crime, and you are entitled to protection. Just as you would if you were dealing with domestic violence, make sure people around you know what's going on and can support you. You should also have a safety plan. For more information about taking these important steps, see Leaving an Abusive Relationship, How to Protect Yourself. This article focuses on some things to think about when stalking is involved. Safety and privacy considerations, use of technology. Be aware that a stalker can use technology to harass and monitor you. Many smartphones and other smart devices contain cameras or GPS tracking that can be used to locate you and monitor your whereabouts. Social media accounts also contain information that can be used to harass you or track you down. If you're concerned about your privacy and safety, check out these resources from the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Now, first of all, what is stalking? Through the specific legal definition, though the specific legal definition varies from state to state,
any repeated, unwanted contact that frightens you or makes you feel threatened most likely constitutes stalking. At first, stalking might seem harmless enough, involving actions that are perfectly legal under ordinary circumstances, like calling you or sending emails, text messages, or even gifts. However, what may seem innocent in the beginning can cross the line into stalking when the behavior is frequent and makes you feel threatened or uncomfortable. Usually the stalker is attempting to force a relationship that you don't want. If your ex is engaging in any of the following behaviors, you may be the victim of stalking. 1. Calling when you ask him not to. 2. Sending you unwanted letters, emails, or text messages. 3. Giving you gifts you don't want. 4. Following you or showing up where you are without a good reason. 5. Gathering information about you. 6. Spreading rumors or posting personal information about you. And 7. Refusing to leave you alone even after you ask. If you think your ex may be stalking you, begin to keep a detailed record of each incident that makes you uneasy. Below, you'll find a link to a stalking behavior log that you can print out. So this is on divorcenet.com. You want to go to that site and get that link. You may be in danger. If you don't respond the way the stalker wants you to, the situation may get worse. Your ex may try to force you into a relationship by intimidating or threatening you. When thwarted, some stalkers become violent. For this reason, it's very important that you don't downplay your misgivings or fear. Take action to protect yourself and put an end to the stalking behavior. Begin by contacting the police to report the stalker. You may also want to petition the court for a restraining order that prohibits the stalker from having any contact with you. Learn more about how to get a restraining order. It's also helpful to learn about stalking laws in your state and what local resources are available. And, of course, you can go to divorcenet.com for a list of the resources and places where you can find out more about the stalking laws. So one who stalks is one who is stuck in that stage of denial, not accepting that the relationship is over. And this, as we see, can be a difficult stage, because when it evolves into anger that the person will not do what they want, then it can also erupt into violence. So let's go back to our phone lines and get thoughts on this. I'm going to take area code 773-450, and then I'm going to go back to Mama Joy. And anybody else on our switchboard, feel free to press 1 and contribute your thoughts. Got about 15 more minutes before we wrap up. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. We'll open your mic. And if you are watching us live on Facebook or YouTube, feel free to write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And area code 773-450, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us, and give us your comments.
I will.
773-450, your mic is open. Go right ahead.
Oh. Grand Rising. How are you, Grace?
Grand Rising. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum. And how's everybody doing this morning? What a great show.
I am blessed and grateful.
You know, what I was thinking about, it seems so unfair to say that people create the situations that they're in. But unfortunately, a lot of times that can be so true, because that's how it works in the universe. You draw to those things that you say you need and you pray for, right? And those people turn up because of you. You can also turn that off, I guess, if you don't want that type of person or make some sort of adjustment. But that's a challenge, you know, because in traditional society, people are more interested in, I got a boyfriend, I got a girlfriend, or something like that that they teach you. You don't have any need to have a boyfriend or girlfriend if you're not stable in your own right, right? You're going to get in a relationship, be a crutch on somebody else, and lean over till you break them down. Is that the way you have a relationship, or is the relationship supposed to be based on you knowing who you are, knowing what your purpose is, and going forward? That's why a lot of times when teenagers start having children very young, they don't even have a chance to realize, they don't have a chance to know who they are before they start having children. So you have to slow that process down. You want to offer your children the best that you can give them. How can you offer them anything you don't even know yourself?
Well,
you're
that's true.
You're fishing around trying to find out who you are, and you're using them as an experiment in the process. So society creates that idea, you got to have a girlfriend, you got to have a boyfriend. You don't have to have anything that's not benefiting you, right?
Well, that's true. But, you know,
and besides,
what
how
happened?
How are you going to know what you need if you don't know yourself? So
that's
slow that whole process down. You know, they just,
you know,
I mean, I got dating websites and all this stuff. People are just so desperate that one of my friends said, wow, I think it's just dating websites for guys who just want to date a whole bunch of women. That's what she told me. I don't know, but I just.
And you know what, like you're saying, people look for things to fulfill what they feel like they don't have inside of them. Young people, like you said, they're most susceptible to that, especially if they are coming from a home where maybe they didn't get enough love, and so they're looking for somebody else to validate them being worthy of love. And I mean, men as well as women do this, and you know, brother, that a lot of men, when they got issues with their own confidence and sense of manhood, they think if they get a bunch of women, then that's going to make them feel more like a man. But they don't even know who they are yet, like you said. And so,
and it's not just that, Naima. It's just the fact that, I'm seeing the whole society is backwards. They teach men, oh, you're supposed to be the leader of the family. If you don't know anything, how are you going to lead anybody? That's backwards. What woman should follow a man that doesn't know anything?
Blind can't lead.
I mean, you're supposed to follow him like he's a leader and he don't know his left foot from his right foot. That doesn't exactly make sense. Oh, he's a man. So you get a lot of men that fall for this stereotype that tradition gives them, and they go around thinking they got to be aggressive and beat up women and all this stuff. And in reality, at the final straw, when we do everything the right way, do you know attraction has very little to do with how somebody looks? If you develop your gifts, talents, and goals in life, you will draw to those people that are on your same pathway that can help you get to where you got to get. But if you're busy looking at muscles and she's cute, look at her hair and her butt, I mean, come on. That's an outer appearance at best. And at the end of the day, if you really want to grow spiritually, you've got to let the bottom part go. The highest part would be the spiritual and mental. And then if you want to ascend, you can't be down there on the bottom always looking at something sexual. That's so slow. Come on. Even animals have sex. Come on, y'all.
So let me ask you this. Do you think men sometimes choose women based on them thinking that other men will admire them? Oh, you know, people think that I'm something because I got a woman that looks like this. And it's not so much what the woman is, what they think will bring them status.
Of course they do, they're insecure. Of course. I mean, most smart women, men shy away from a lot of times because they know they can't run a game on them, you know?
Mm. Wow.
But anyway, I still think even with the women, they draw to them in the universe what they're looking for. So pay attention to what you really need and slow that process down and take your time. What's the hurry?
That's right. Get to know who you are first.
That work together on a purpose that can please the Most High. And then what type of blessings can we get from that? As opposed to thinking we as preachers can please each other. Man, that's so backwards. Come on. We all depend on air to breathe. We can only do so much for each other. There's a higher source that drives the whole process. Be still somewhere and find out what that is.
Yeah.
And then get ahead in life. That's why in the mornings when I get up, instead of maybe turning on GMC or whatever those top programs are that they say top programs are, I'm busy listening to something that I can glean something from in my mind, that I can go somewhere and get a piece of nature. They don't have that. They don't slow the process down, even realize that breathing is an art.
Yeah.
People just slow the process down so they can control their emotion. But that's a lot. That's an advanced class. So at any rate, that's an advanced class.
We appreciate you contributing to this conversation. We definitely have appreciated your wisdom and continue to shine your light. Thank you so much.
You have to have no other choice. Thank you so much.
All righty. Well, we're going to take another call here, and let's go to area code 312-597 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts on overcoming a broken heart.
I'm sorry?
Yes. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Kofi James.
Yes, our brother Kofi James. How are you? Yes, so it's interesting. Obadiah was just speaking about how young people tend to jump into relationships before they know themselves. Have you ever had to advise your children on not getting involved in a relationship because perhaps you knew they were not emotionally ready, you know, in teen years and that kind of thing? And if so, how did you do that as a father?
Well, I was lucky because their mother was she was a virgin when I met her.
Mm-hmm.
So she has instilled, focused them on education. And they have a spiritual upbringing, which I would take them to the lake and take them places, and I would minister to my children. I was their first minister. Yeah, that was powerful. That was the most powerful thing I ever done. I ministered to my children. I taught them. I used to say, "I'm your daddy, but I'm not your father." That's what I used to always tell them. "I'm your daddy, but I'm not your father." They would scratch their head.
So what is the difference in your definition? What's the difference between a daddy and father?
I'm their daddy, but God is their father.
I see. That's a
good definition. When they were young, I gave them a relationship with God. You know what I mean? When you have a relationship with God, you can give a child a relationship with God if they're young. This is the purpose for a father. And so, you know, we always, you know, have problems when you lack a father. This is what you're going to lack. You know, this next generation is going to be the worst. They're lacking the father.
Yeah.
They're lacking upbringing, and when you lack a father, guess who the father, parent, who becomes the father, the head or the protector of that child? Guess who becomes that?
Who's that when you don't have
the state, the police system? They become the parent to the child for lack of father. I break up so many fights of these young children out here over nothing. He called me this, and they start fighting. Next you know, a group of kids gathering together. And this is our problem. We're putting it upon ourselves. We're doing it to ourselves. You're squeezing out that father and out that child's life. Okay, guess what? You're going to have a problem.
You're giving that child some
issues, and all you're gonna do is you're gonna talk about it on your show. Everybody's gonna talk about their show. All these shows are gonna talk about what went wrong when you're supposed to put that father in that child's life, and he'll figure it out. I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna stop talking. I did a study about 100 drug addicts, black men. Who was strung out, okay? Because I used to live in projects. And I would always stop and talk with them. I go, "Man, why are you taking drugs every single day? out here just hustling up doing drugs every single day. I said, do you have any other thing to do? He goes, no. He goes, my child was taken away by the mother. I have no purpose in life.
Wow.
All of them told me that. All of them told me that. I said, where's your child? The mother took him from the used the state to take the child from me and all that. He said, I was a drug addict and I can't be around my kids. I'm talking about every last one of these men told me that. They said the mother took the child from the father and he doesn't have any purpose in life, so he might as well just drug himself out of his misery.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that.
I'm
going to try to take, but thank you so much for sharing that, because that lets us know the deep grief that's in the hearts of many of those that we're wondering, well, why are they addicted to substances? They're in grief. That's the other side of the relationship breakup. And area code 312671, got about 1 minute before we wrap up. Go right ahead with your comment.
We are in Yah Shalom. We don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful, black power, and God is the greatest. Brother Kofi and Brother Obadiah, y'all be sure to call me. You know this Brother Plump from Chicago, because we got to help save the children, okay? That's the thought for today. And looking forward now, even for the next 50 years, we got to change the paradigm of the children relationship between our father and God. And Kofi, you just gave an excellent, solution. And thank you for being part of the Female Solution, the world's greatest radio and TV station in the nation. We love you. Keep up the good work. All right. Okay, we win. God and the people win. See that? See that? We got it now. We got the solution.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to help you, brothers and sisters, with love, because God is love. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And that was Minister Robert Floyd Plump from Chicago. Well, Mama Joy, I'm going to give you the last word here. Definitely, we need to keep our families together. We need healthy relationships to produce healthy children, emotionally healthy children. Last thought, and of course you can hear Mama Joy right here, second Saturday on the Female Solution, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Mama Joy, in the minute we have left, give us your final word of wisdom that we can take away and
well,
relationships and
thank you so much for this closing remark request that you've given. I really enjoyed listening to the brothers chime in at the end. It was really a good platform for me to be able to say, you know, separating the family. The family is the cornerstone of any nation, of any culture. And when that separation occurs, it impacts us all. So let us be about the healing and be mothers and fathers wherever we are. Look after the children and to be an encouragement for these men and women, young people, whom we have, through our own struggle, have caused them to be this way. And through no fault of our own, because we didn't know. But as we're growing older and growing wiser, let's walk in the light of that wisdom and be that place where these young fathers and mothers and families can come to and be that guide. In the name of God, whatever God you serve in, but in the spirit of love. Spirit of love. And learn that you can't love your neighbor or anyone else until you love yourself. And that's something that you do daily. Practice loving you. Hello? Will that work?
There you go. That'll work. Thank you so much, Mama Joy. A powerful final word. Practice love.
Thank you.
Perfect. Well, see you back tomorrow.
come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our book, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.